WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The latest Disney animation movie, Pocahontas, had the most spectacular premiere ever. It was shown on four giant screens in Central Park to over 100,000 people. But now it's opening in a theater near you, and it's time to ask, is it any good? Film critic Stephen Schiff has some answers.
I liked Pocahontas, which is strange, really, because it's got everything I usually hate in a movie. The characters are as bland and generic as the people in a Disease of the Week picture on TV. The hero, Captain John Smith, is a blonde cartoon hunkoid, who seems mostly to be an imitation of other blonde cartoon hunkoids. The villain, Governor Ratcliffe, is fat and supercilious, with a hoity-toity British accent and a bad mustache. He, too, seems a pallid imitation of other more persuasive villains. The plot comes straight out of history, but gets everything spectacularly wrong. Yes, the English settlers came to the New World looking for wealth, and yes, they soon found themselves at odds with the Indians. But Pocahontas never had a West Side Story-style love affair with Captain John Smith, as she does here. And besides, she was only 12 years old, which this movie's Pocahontas decidedly is not. In fact, Disney's Pocahontas is a dead ringer for Tia Carrere, who played the rock babe pursued by Wayne in Wayne's World. She's as sexy as anyone who's been drawn without a nose can be. Imagine Jessica Rabbit in Buckskins, and you begin to get the picture. Oh, and the movie has a habit that usually drives me up the wall. It lectures. Take, for instance, this song, Colors of the Wind, which Pocahontas, using the pizzazzy Broadway voice of Judy Kuhn, sings to John Smith.
You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon? Or asked the grinning bobcat why he grinned? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind?
Got the message? Ordinarily, I would say save the preaching for Sunday school. But strangely, I find Pocahontas' brand of PC completely inoffensive. I think that's because, unlike the other recent Disney animation blockbusters, this one doesn't come across as a fairy tale, or in fact as any sort of tale at all. Pocahontas is a parable. Its purpose isn't to transport us to a fantastical new world, but to teach a simple lesson. And since that's manifestly clear from the beginning, and since everything in the movie works in that direction, the preaching never gets in the way of anything else. There isn't anything else. That may make Pocahontas sound a bit dull. And the truth is, it's not as funny or as imaginative as most of the other recent Disney spectaculars. But Pocahontas is all of a piece. The romance in it is swoony and compelling. The drawing is, as always, meticulous. The raccoon and hummingbird that provide comic relief do so gently and then disappear. And the lively voice of Mel Gibson saves John Smith from being the pale, heroic slab he might have been. In short, kids will love Pocahontas slightly less than they loved the last few Disney animations, but they'll love it all the same. And adults being dragged to see it will genuinely enjoy it the first two or three times. After that, they can always console themselves with the fact that, after all, it's only 1 hour and 10 minutes long.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.